Blog Talk Radio.
This meeting is being recorded.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. Tonight, we are coming to you live on Zoom. We're coming to you live on Facebook. And we're also coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio and other formats. And so if you want to get involved, those of you who are listening live streaming, I left a link where you can join us on the Zoom call. So if you want to do so, I suggest you do that now, because it's going to be some hot topics tonight. We have before us brother, friend, King Tisdale, a philosopher. I mean, he's an author. He's quite a few other things, too, but I'll let him explain to that a little later on. But we also want to bring in from Louisiana, Bishop E. Rene Soule. He's going to bring in some topics that's very dear to his heart. It's about this police reform, this protection around the police departments, and this shell that they have where they can't be persecuted for some of the crimes that they submit. It's very difficult for them to be persecuted. So he's going to be bringing that up to us this evening. And as always, I see a couple of people online with us already. My partner, Mr. Bill Gooden. How you doing, Mr. Bill Gooden?
I'm good.
And, of course, we have my partner, brother Satavi Jahi, who's with us as well. And so, like I said, we're going to get this thing started. And but before we do, as always, brother Satavi always has some positive reaffirming information that can enhance all of our quality of life. And so with that being said, Mr. Satavi Jahi, you have it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And good evening to everybody out there that's on my voice. I hope y'all all are doing well and, you know, are moving and thriving. And our reading for tonight comes from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And I'll be doing another reading also from Selections from the Hosea, Sacred Wisdom of Ancient Egypt, put together by Dr. Marlana Karinga. Starting off with the first reading, Boomerang. Of all the qualities necessary for success, none comes before character. Ernesta Prokop, CEO and EG of EG Bowman Company. Reading for tonight. A young woman preparing to entertain guests went to a small grocery store to buy food. She stopped at the meat counter and asked the butcher for a large chicken. He reached down into the cold storage compartment, grabbed the last chicken he had, and placed it on a scale. "This one weighs 4 pounds, ma'am," he said. "I'm not sure that'll be enough," the woman replied. "Don't you have something a little bigger?" The attendant put the chicken back into the compartment, pretended to search through the melting ice for another one, and then brought the same bird back up and discreetly placed his hand on the scale gently. "Ah," he said with a smile, "this one weighs 6 pounds. "I'm still not sure that's enough," the woman said with a frown. "I tell you what, wrap them up, and I'll take them both. The dishonest person is his own worst enemy and is, in the end, his own victim. When a person does something dishonest, he essentially is tossing a boomerang. How far it will travel, no one knows. Great, how small a circle it would traverse. But eventually it will come back swift and unseen to the person who released it. The same principle holds true when a person conducts himself in an honest and forthright fashion. Good results from good acts are just as certain as bad results from bad acts. Each act is an unfailing boomerang. Honesty pays. This may be the quickest way to build your fortune." Reading number two from the Book of Amenemope. "Beware of robbing the poor and oppressing the weak and the helpless. Raise not your hand against the aged, nor address an elder with improper speech. Let not yourself be sent on an evil mission, nor stand in the company of those who have performed it. Rage not against those who injure you, nor on your account answer them. The war falls from under the wicked, and the flood water washes them away. The north wind comes down to the end and their hour on earth and turns it into a tempest. The thunder roars and the crocodiles come without mercy. Those are our two readings for tonight. One about not robbing the poor and making sure you speak properly to the elderly, and the first one was about character and being honest. And these are things that, you know, essential things that we need to make sure that we're practicing and doing in our business affairs, our relationship affairs, and how we treat others. And as I listened to Brother Nuri Muhammad earlier today, he talked about, you know, two things that we need to all make sure that we're doing. Is one is to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And number two, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And what that means is, do not do something to somebody that you would not want somebody to do to you. So, turn it back over to you, David, and we can be able to bring on our guests and get started for the nice podcast.
All right, thank you, sir. As always, always a pleasure, sir, and always good information. And again, I want to welcome those who have just joined us on the National Black Unity News podcast. And tonight we have two guests with us this evening, as well as with our participants from the National Black Unity News. You know, it's not difficult for me to introduce people, but there's a connection with people whom you just meet and who you just come around sometimes. You feel what some may call a vibe or karma. And this gentleman that I'm about to bring on, he has that kind of karma because he is deeply into the deeper things of life. That's the best way I can explain this. But this brother, when I first met him, and I heard him speak, and I heard how he greet people, and I watched how he interact with people. And this brother, to me personally, he's on another level. But I'm gonna let him kind of explain that to you. But I'm gonna introduce everybody to this brother, King Tisdale. He's an author. I think he's a philosopher. I don't know how he classifies himself. But I do know he's a soldier. I do know he's down for the cause. That all of that being said, and I didn't say much about this gentleman, but I'm gonna let him tell you who he is, what he do, and why he does it. And Brother King, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, so I want you to do us a favor. Because I want you to introduce yourself, sir, and who you are, what you do, and why you do it, sir.
Thank you, David. First of all, I want to thank you and your efforts in bringing this to the table, this forum, and this opportunity to share. Blessings, family. My name is King Andre Teasdale. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God here on earth amongst all of us who acknowledge that understanding that the kingdom is not a government that we associate with when we see what's going on around us with the corruption, lying, violence, and things of that nature. I am a lover of the people. I have been a paramedic for over 20 years with the city of Baltimore. And from the experiences that I've had in treating people with the love and respect that my elders have taught
you
me.
You are
to
muted.
Share.
You can mute or unmute yourself by
Baltimore
pressing star
feeling
6.
Confident in knowing that I have no need to worry of anybody walking up on me because I've done somebody wrong. And I know that the protection of the Supreme Almighty is always with me. And yes, David, it is true. I am a philosopher of life from many perspectives. But I like to apologize to everyone who has ever been fed information that has led anyone to unsatisfactory conclusions of life, love, and the spirit. Because everyone who has ever felt misled deserves at least that. And no one I know has taken the responsibility or authority to do so. Well, I stand unto this day to put that apology out there, because the divine shares with us and we are to share with one another. And that's the real purpose for all of us here on this earth. So I'm choosing to do this because I have discovered many pathways can lead to the same truth only if in alignment with the vibration of truth. For in our world, the composition of energy, vibration, and frequency work together harmoniously to create reality, be it collectively or individualized. So I'm the culmination of all the experiences that I've ever had and all the relationships I've ever been involved with. And I am here because I wrote this book, The Power of Choice, which sparked David's attention, because living thought will speak to all of us when we allow ourselves to be at peace, to receive it. And David was receiving a very similar message as I have, and we have come together in that same space and that same vibration. So I thank you, David, and I am here for any questions or any thoughts that you wish to bring forth.
Yes, sir. First of all, I'm glad you introduced yourself that way. And a lot of people on this online with us, as well out through the Facebook Live, you know, this is some serious times. People are not sure about how tomorrow's going to be. People are uneasy about the way government is ran and how their life is coming to be. Some people call this thing a new norm. From your perspective, sir, what do you think is what's taking place? What's going on in this world right now from your perspective?
My perspective gives to me the revelation of recognizing that each and every action that we have been seeing is a response to the truth that we all are connected. It's interesting how two events occurred to make us recognize that we are one world. This breath disease known as the COVID, of which we have to protect ourselves because we don't know exactly what we can inhale if we don't protect ourselves. And we don't know what will infect us if we don't protect ourselves. And that is what life is really all about. You allow information to come to you that is not in alignment with what is for your greater good, then your good is not going to achieve what you desire. Speaking of that, we discovered that incident where George Floyd was murdered in the street. Before he died, he actually was calling for his mother. And in that call, the vibration of the universe heard him. And the whole world was shaken because of it. And out of all of the police brutality and all of the hatred and the negative things that we've seen over the hundreds of years, him making that call has brought forth the reality that there is such a negative vibration that has been enslaving us to where it's time for us to break free. And all of these things are the culmination of bringing a new beginning, because things aren't going to be the same, not anymore. It can't be, because now we are awakening. And not only are we awakening, but the whole globe is awakening. Those who used to ignore what was going on cannot ignore it anymore. And the Spirit of God is allowing us to step into our responsibility to make a change, to make a difference. But we have to be in alignment with life. Life and God are synonymous. Love and God is synonymous. Both of those, life and love, are the most powerful aspects of our world's living. But this is the key. Living represents your relationship to life, which is God. Living, your living, represents your relationship to love, which is God. So if your living is not in alignment with life and love, then your relationship needs to be reevaluated with the one who created all. I hope that answers the question without going too out in space.
Well, you know, to me, I understand what you were saying, but you know, you wrote a book. You gave a book to me one time. You autographed it, and I didn't read the entire one, but I read quite a bit of it. And it was very intriguing and interesting and very enlightening. And tell me, your first book that you wrote, why did you write that book, and what was your intended purpose for the book?
The first book I wrote, thank you, David. I appreciate the compliment as well. The first book I wrote and published is called Extraordinary Epiphanies of a King. The reason why I wrote that book is because of the experiences that I've had over my life's journey. I wrote the emotion out into words on paper. And in discovering those writings that was set off to the side for years, I was captivated by them. And I sat and started reading, not intending to do it, but I just happened to come across the material. And I started reading, and I actually spent 2 hours just going through the material, reading these words that came through me. And as I observed this, I came to a place of identifying what I call living thought. Living thought, to me, is the vibration of spirit that speaks to all of us. And when we allow ourselves, without resistance, to hear what God has to say to us, he brings us a calm and a peace that will help us get through whatever situation we're dealing with. And many of those poems are of situations that I was dealing with that allowed me to tap into a vibration that helped me better understand what I was going through and how to go through it. And so I decided to share that with the world.
Okay, and what about that second book, the e-book that you just brought out?
The e-book is called, it's an excerpt of a book that's entitled The Power of Choice, Path of Divine Royalty to Conquer Darkness. For me, I sat with the book of Revelations and the book of Genesis. And from the book of Revelations, I discovered that there was a war in heaven. I thought that was unusual because people always talk about heaven, but they ain't going there, heaven. Nonetheless, when I saw that there was a war in heaven, that kind of shocked me. So I read the material and discovered that in that war, the energy vibration was cast to the earth. And I was astounded because I was like, if it was cast to the earth, then would it not still be here? With that being said, I went to the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens, and that was plural, and the earth, which is singular. And in that singularity, everything focused on that singularity. And it then said the earth was, paraphrase, formless and without structure and chaotic. And darkness covered the surface of the deep. And when I saw that and I heard that and I thought of darkness, and I said, that's what the world is struggling with, darkness. And then it said, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. And hovering over the waters made me recognize that we're dealing with someone watching guard over a situation who was keeping something either protected or guarded. And then it says, and God said, let there be light. The light came forth and freed those that was in the darkness in my conscious mind. Because what I discovered was, what was my interpretation, is that the light came so that those who did not have a choice when they were under the authority of the dark one now has a choice. And that choice, because we all are the primordial energy of the earth. So whatever energy was here on the earth, when God said, let there be light, that was just the beginning of things. And it moved from that space to the space and the place of having us, man, given the ability, the opportunity to have the power to choose. Because the sun doesn't choose whether it rotates and sends forth its energy. It does it because God says so. Same thing with stars and the moon and everything. The trees, they follow the seasons as they ought. Everything goes by the orders of God except man. So in order for us to create what is necessary for our living to be the best it can be, we have been given the power to choose. But we don't recognize that we have the authority to do so. And so that's what this book is about, bringing to your attention that we have been given authority to choose so that we can create our own reality, and we can do it.
Wow. You know what, Robert Tisdale, is this. You know, that's one of the reasons why you're on this broadcast this evening. Because when I, as always, I'm on the computer 90% of my time. And you and I, we Facebook friends, like most of us on this call. and you was announcing your new book, your e-book, and we're talking about choices, and that just happened to be my article for this upcoming issue of the National Black Unity News. And
wow.
I picked up the phone and called you, and I was sharing that information with you.
Right.
The power of choice. And I just said, my article is the power of choice, but choose wisely. And you know, and most of us, like I said, like I'm saying now, is this. We are where we are right now because we chose to do this or do that way back in the day, and one thing led to another thing. Choices are so serious, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care how minute they may seem to you, but every choice is a, from my perspective, is very major. I shared in my article, just for as an example, if I was walking down a sidewalk one day, and for some reason, you know how we do, sometimes we just say, I just want to drink a water, or I'm just going to pick up this newspaper and read it. Sometimes, you know, not even really conscious thoughts sometimes, we do things. How we just pick up, like I'm just doing that, just why did I just do that, you know? And but I just say, for instance, I walk on the other side of the street. And then my article, I say, if I slipped on a banana peel and hurt myself, then I ended up going to an emergency room. All that because I made a choice to walk on the other side of the street. And then I go to this emergency room, and that's where I meet my wife. And then me and my wife, they, you know, we have all of these children. And all of this, you know, all of this because one little conscious decision is to go across that street. And sometimes we think that may be insignificant, but the significance of it is it was life-altering. Life changing. And sometimes the reasons why we are all here today, now all of us come from different backgrounds, different walks of life, but for some reason, the choices that we made, we all ended up here at this particular time and place. And so I find, you know, and when I was thinking about that subject matter, I guess as you were thinking about it as well, is that this thing God gave us, he gave man to reason, a choice. You can choose. He said, choose to do this day. You can go this way or that way. And I can't reflect on nobody else, but I can reflect on me. I made some choices way back in the day, and every choice I made had consequences to them. And I used to wonder, why this happened to me? Why? I constantly asked myself. And then if you look back, if you go back, if you can remember, because you made some choices back in the day. But, King, this is what I want to ask you, sir. Since in this present day, for instance, like me, I'm just going to use me as a guinea pig. Since I made choices, I'm here where I'm at today. Now, yesterday is gone, but I'm still paying the cost of yesterday. And so here we are. You wrote this book about choices. And so what would you say to someone right now at this given place and time about choosing? I hope you understand where I'm coming from. Like I say, it's from your perspective. Because in my article, I said choose wisely. Now, my wisely may not be your wisely, but I'm just saying from your perspective, what would you recommend or suggest to people from choosing, just from the idea of choosing?
I would say that we have to recognize that there's no in-between. It's either this or that. And the interesting thing about choice is to recognize that there is that which is creation and that which is destruction or destructive. It's either one or the other. That's the world in which we're living in. And in your choosing, you have to recognize that there is another opposite that we need to be focused on. And that's the opposite of fear. Because people can choose love. And love is one of the most powerful vibrations in the universe. But the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. And that you choose your actions and your intentions and your beliefs based on whether you are operating out of love or you are operating out of fear. With that being said, I reflect back on the story I was saying in reference to the dark forces. And in that consciousness, the dark forces had to operate out of fear. And anything and any power was based on fear, oppression, suppression, all the negative vibrations. But the contrast is love and the spirit of love and truth and harmony and balance. When we learn to speak in the language of truth, harmony, order, right thinking, reciprocity, which is what I give, I expect will return, and what is given, I am expected to acknowledge to give as well, then the balance and justice and compassion automatically follows. Now, that's my philosophical aspect of it, because that's the space in which I live. Did that help any, Dave?
Yes, it did. Yes, sir. Let me just, those of us who are on the line, I'm looking at quite a few people on the call with us. And quite a few of them are authors like yourself. And some of them have written 6 books, 5 books, 4 books, and still writing. And I want y'all to open up, you unreach yourself, and you want to ask the brother some questions about, you know, because this brother is very insightful from my perspective. If you talk to him, ask him questions. I'll ask him a question in a heartbeat. But a lot of us got some serious choices to make today.
Well, let me say something. First and foremost, thank you, you know, everybody from being online. But I have to be honest, man. You know, my head is just swimming because there's a lot that I agree with and there's a lot that I disagree with, right? You know, just like when we talk about darkness, if we go to the dictionary, you know, everything dark, everything black is bad, right? You know, and I understand why it's like that, because the people that enslaved us created a system that they wanted to show darkness and blackness in a bad light opposed to in a good light. So that was really require a whole lot of debate in my mind, you know what I'm saying, to get to that. But, I mean, I appreciate the perspectives because the brother laid down a lot of the perspectives. I know we got quite a few people on the line, so I'm going to just say this, and then I'm going to shut down because I know other people got questions. And we talked about this earlier, Dave, me and you, Dempsey, Vernon. Even when we talk about the Bible, you know, and I mean, everybody have to have something that they reference to the beginning, you know. And like I always say, you know, if we use the Bible, the Quran, or whatever, if in the beginning the world was void of nobody, then I don't know who created this thing in terms of what's the truth. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, most of our references we're taking from other people to be the truth in terms of how life is opposed to how we expect it to be. So I'm just saying all this to say this, that this is a deep conversation, but it's kind of hard to have this conversation in an hour, man, because like I say, my mind is going in a whole lot of different directions just hearing the brother lay out everything that he's laying out.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Well, good evening, everyone. How y'all doing?
Hey, Brother Donald. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Brother David. How you be, man? Always good to see you, Brother David.
Always the pleasure.
And I know this is 2020, so what I'm about to say, please don't take it out of content. But I love you, bro. Anyway, I just wanted to chime in something that's sticking in my mind. And just like my man here, pardon me, brother, I see an owner That's there's your name. I know that's not your name, but.
Yes, yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Right on, right on.
Yeah, my name is King. My father gave me the
oh,
name.
Oh, no, not you. I'm sorry, the brother that was just speaking.
Oh, I got you.
Oh, that's okay. Bill Gooden.
Bill who?
Bill Gooden.
Okay. All right, Brother Bill. Sorry about that. But he said, you know, there's a lot of information that you put out there, and, you know, it can be confusing, and I agree with him 100% that, you know, this is not a conversation that can be solved tonight. This is an ongoing conversation, debate, or what have you. But one piece that you mentioned that kind of sticks in my head is that, you know, there was a battle going on up in heaven. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I read the Bible, and I may not be a doctor as you are in reference to it. So I will admit there are some things that I'm shortchanged on when it comes to the Bible. But I do recollect that in some of my readings that if there was a battle, I'm thinking that that battle took place with Judas, you know, out of the 12. When the 12 sat down and Jesus knew that there was somebody that was going to, you know, betray him. And that betrayal came through Judas. And I mean, that's where, and I, like I said, I'm not a professor, but I if there was a battle, I want to think that, or my mind is telling me that is where the battle was. So please, I mean, if you could correct my mind, because I'm not a scholar in it. And as a matter of fact, I received this, believe it or not, when I was living in Baltimore, David. Matter of fact, from the MacVet Center, a young brother came up to me and he gave this to me. And I've been honoring this ever since. So I've had this for like maybe 18 years, you know. But, brother, if you could just enlighten me a little more on the battle that you said that took place, I appreciate that.
Thank you, Donald. I appreciate you. The Bible is a living document, and the amazing thing about the living document itself is it spans beyond time, before time, during time, and after time. The battle in heaven, as was revealed to me, was something that had occurred before the beginning of time itself. Now, that battle was a battle that initiated itself because the vibration of expansion saw a space of separation where it wanted to go contrary to the divine will of what was intended from creation at the very start. And I give you an example of what I mean. We all come from the egg and the sperm coming together to become one cell. The one cell continues to multiply and become the many cells that make us who we are today. Trillions of cells who inside of their body, a cell will choose to go contrary to the divine orchestration of what the body is supposed to do. And that ends up being cancer. And it has to be excised or whatever else may happen because the rest of the body will fall subject to destruction if it does not, if it is not rectified. So the story of the war in heaven is a prelude before Genesis actually is written or occurred. Now, the energy vibration that you speak of Judas is during the lifetime of Christ, in which the energy vibration, that negative vibration that goes against the divine operation of the flow is a necessary component of the positive and negativity that occurs, because God is always going to make sure he's on top of every situation. So Judas and that experience is an experience that, now this is a third dimension I'm bringing forth, is an experience that was predestined, because there's few people who accept it, but I believe it as true. We all have chosen to be here on this planet for a time such as this. And it goes into a lot of avenues of thought. There's not enough time to explain it all here. But I appreciate you bringing that to the table, and I hope that gave a little bit of clarity to what we're experiencing here, because the strange thing about the Judas story is it was necessary for the story that was given out of the living document to, for us to actually reclaim our authority to have dominion on the earth. So, like I say, it gets deep.
Well, let me say this then. You know, this David Murphy speaks, because, you know, I go here and there and everywhere. But I like to consider myself as I believe in a deity, in which some may call God, a supreme being. And because I don't believe that we just came from, we just evolved from this to that, and I don't believe intelligence, because everybody on here has created in their lifetime, and you know, I was talking, we was just had a discussion this morning. I remember the time when I said I was running around looking for black businesses and services. And I met so many wonderful and powerful people in the Baltimore area that was running their businesses. I was so amazed, because see, from the time, see, I'm 69, and see, I came up in the early the 50s, and during that time we didn't have black radio stations, we didn't have this. That most people I saw was white folks who were doing swell.
Right.
And when I saw people that looked, when I finally, every once in a while I would see somebody that looked like me on media. It wasn't good. Either they was being locked up in the black newspaper, or they was being servitude, some type of servitude, or being abused and made fun of. So I didn't think too highly of myself, because I identify with those people, because I look like those people. But at the same time, when I went around to those business owners, and I was truly amazed at the fantastic work that they were doing, the struggles that they had to endure, and the times that they were living in. And in spite of all of that, they still created. They still were doing their thing. And so I decided to myself, I say, people need to know about them. The reason why I thought people need to know, because I needed to know about them. Because I didn't have too much of a positive influence about who we were. I'm talking about black people right now. And so I decided, I made up my mind that people need to know about these folks. And so I came up with an idea. I knew I could control a TV station or a radio station. I said, that would be too expensive. But one thing I say, because I was a printer at the time, and I dealt with print materials and stuff like that, so I decided a newspaper. I said, that was doable. And the thought came, it was just a thought. But about 6 or 7 months later, behold, I held my own newspaper in my own hands, and I looked at it, and a miraculous, to me, it was miraculous that I created something from a thought. And here's what it came to fruition, and that I held this in my hand. And to me, that was a life-altering moment, because I understood how a thought, when God said, let there be, and it was. And he spoke things into existence. And when I said to myself, I'm going to start a newspaper, not I might, I do this, but I said, I'm going to. And then behold, I held this in my hand. Now, I know a lot of people on this call right now, who with us right now, like I said, quite a few authors, quite a few people have done this and that. But it said to me that it put me in relationship to a God. Because God said, you know, just based on biblical, you know, scriptures, he said, you can do these things and greater things if you believe. And as I look around me, what we're doing right now, everything I see, all this background and stuff I see on people and everything right now, somebody in their mind created that. And if we are, the way the word put it, that we are children of God, whether we choose to believe him or not, that we are still his creations based on word, on scriptures, that we have this type of power. We can even have life and death is in our hands, even in our tongue, because man can say something and can cause the war and will cause a multitude of people to die. Just by a word, I say we go to war, and that's it. And men go to war. And so, you know, and getting back to your scriptures, you know, because we, like they say, everybody on there already recognize that when you get to religious things or spiritual things, everybody has their opinions about this and that, and it can go on forever. But the most people that I do know, including myself, because I was what you call, I used to curse God. That's the best way to put it. I used to curse him because in that same bringing up, I watched what happened to my father. And I watched what happened to a lot of people around me in my circles. And I watched what happened to me personally as a child, 12, 13 years old. And I knew, I mean, this is just me, and y'all could say something else, but I knew I wasn't a bad child. You know, I really cared about people, you know, when I was a child. I really wanted to help people. But yet I end up being a teenage alcoholic. And I used to ask God, why did you do this to me? You know, I didn't think he may not did, but why would you allow this to happen to me? And, you know, and people would talk down on me. You know, he'd be doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But at the same time, the same God that I curse, because, like I say, you know, because if you don't know, you don't know. And people can also blame this on God, why the world is in the situation it is today. And to come back to our major conversation was because of choices. God gave man choices. He can choose this way or he can choose that way. And even myself, I chose this book to be self-deprecating. And nobody made me pick up a drink or made me do that. I chose to. And I paid the consequences for it. But at the same time, on the flip side, when I got to my wits end, what some would say NA and AA program, they call it hitting bottom. When the time I could no longer look at myself in the mirror, and I cried out, just like most men will do when they get in certain situations, and they would say, if you are God, help me. Those who are atheists, I don't care what you are, you get in a certain situation, you're going to cry out to something. And so I did. And asked, and it goes back to the word. So it's some powerful stuff in the word. And it's an ask and you shall receive. And all you know, and I asked, all of a sudden, things begin to happen. I went into rehab. I went to school. I got GED with the trade school. All sorts of things begin to happen. Because I asked. And my asking, and behold, that's why we all here now, because I asked. Mm-hmm. And so you know, you could interpret all kinds of ways. You know, everybody had their own choices and decisions. Basically, what we're talking about is choices. But to all of y'all on the call right now, I want y'all to chime in because, you know, like I said, you don't know whoever's listening to us right now. They got to make some serious choices in life.
Dave, can I make a comment?
I was hoping you will, sir.
Okay. The gentleman spoke, and he spoke quite elaborately, and it's agreeable. There was a war in heaven, but there was no physical war, you know, like tanks and so on and so forth. It was a war of controversy where God had given Satan powers. He made him perfect in his ways from the days that he was born. You find this in Ezekiel 28:18. But iniquity was found in his heart. Just like he gave us a free will to do what we want to do. And Satan went against the wishes of God. And that's what the war was. And in fact, he went on to go against God so much until the Bible says that somebody saw him fall like lightning. In fact, you'll find this in Luke, the 10th chapter and 18th verse. I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. He was kicked out of heaven. And so when he got here, hey, look, he got Eve, he got Adam, and the rest of us. That crack from there, that's why there's sin in the world. It was a war of controversy. That's what it was. It wasn't a physical war. It was inconceivable. But there was a war of controversy accusing God, I want to do this and I want to do this. Everything that God wanted to do that was perfect. Hey, Satan was a free moral agent, and he wanted to do what he wants to do. But you have to do what God wants you to do. So what happened, Satan, of course, you know, he had them pipes, and he could sing. And so, therefore, the music and so on and so forth, he deceived man. In fact, I want to give somebody amen on the book that you were writing. You were saying something about when God made the earth, he created the laws to govern the movement. He gave laws for the planets so they don't walk run into one another. There are certain laws that's in place. And when we break those laws against God, of course, somebody got to pay the penalty. And I thank you for that information because I'm working on now on the trial. It's bodaciously bad.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, gentlemen. That's just me because I always had this thing about I used to study the Bible. I did, and I read it from cover to cover many times and had more questions than answers. But this is one of the questions I always had. Maybe y'all can help me with this. Now, this with who y'all call Satan, this angel, this right hand, the right hand of God one time, the angel, or like whatever he was supposed to be, Luther. And he admired, from my perspective, the way I was reading it, he admired God so much that he wanted to be just like him.
There you go.
And so I'm admiration. So how can you be upset with somebody
who wants
to be
go.
Like you?
He won't take over.
That is my perspective, though, you know. You say he wanted to take over, or did he just want to be, like, he admired God so much?
He wanted to take
power.
Over.
He wanted the power.
He was a created being. And he wanted to take the creator's place. Just like when God gave us sentence in the commandments of God, says, thou shalt not murder. We go out and kill somebody and says, I didn't murder him. I actually, you know, like, all these particular things. You have to look at the commandments. Those are laws set in place for all of us, especially us black people as a people. Can I get off for a second? The white folks, and I'm not saying all white folks, but the Anglo-Saxon, he taught us how to hate ourselves, and that's how there's so much in-killing in the black community. It's because we go against the least resistance. Because we realize we go against the powers that be, we suffer all these other atrocities and prosecutions and so on and so forth. So that's why there's one time in America we were 20% of the population. Ladies and gentlemen, we're down to 13%. And if you look at Detroit, you look at Michigan, you look at different, all across the nation, the white folks will not stop you from killing one another. They don't care. If you wipe each other out, they got what they want, and their God is money.
That's right.
And the worst part of it is they educate us to love that God, and it's green.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, but this is Fran. Dave, I think there's a big difference between someone wanting to be like someone and someone wanting to be someone. Mm-hmm. You know, you can want to be like God, but that's not going to make you God.
Mm-hmm.
You can live your entire life chasing perfection, but that will never make you perfect.
Fran, the answer is found in the Bible. It says, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne over the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the side of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, the 13 and 14.
Life.
Thy heart is lifted up because of thy beauty. That's the Bible. He tells you about the sin thing.
Yeah, he said he would be like the Most High. But God is not going to let you replace him. Who too is crazy enough to think that they can be without sin and they can be so pure and perfect that they can just push God out the way and stand in his place? That's insanity.
Okay, let me ask you this then.
Have you ever heard of religion? You ever heard of religion?
Yeah.
You ever heard of religion?
Let me ask you all this one simple thing then. You know, since we're on this subject, man, because we in a crisis mode. I mean, not just black people, but all people across this world. We're in crisis, but especially us. I keep saying, when America get a pinch, black folks get a punch. And so since we're in this crisis mode, and there's a passage that I keep hearing ministers saying, and it goes something like that: if my people will humble themselves, call my name.
Call my name.
And I would hear from you. I would hear you. But here we fight on many many different ways and stuff like that. But what is your take on that? If I'm crying out and you crying out, I'm just trying to get for some clarity, because I already got my clarity. I just, you know, just for open discussion, because my perception, it may always differ from your perception, but like I said, I'm a student, always a student, and I'm always willing to learn.
We're hardwired.
This is Fran.
We're hardwired.
I think that you have a really good point there, David, because, you know, obedience is something that people often overlook. They cry out, "Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me." But when the Lord tells them to do something, here they go, "But you gave me free will, so I'm going to choose to do this thing over here." But you're not being obedient. You cannot be disobedient to what God is asking you to do and then expect God to show up and show out when you need him. You have to give God a reason to be the God to you that you need him to be, because he's giving you an opportunity to be the child to him that he expects you to be. But it's just like any other bad kid. I'm not going to give my kids some new sneakers after they done burn up the carpet smoking cigarettes in the house and they knew they wasn't supposed to be in there in the first place. Why you think I'm going to go shopping? See, in that instance, they are the child and I am the God. I said, "Don't smoke in the house. Y'all don't smoke in the house, burn up the carpet, and here you come, mind me some sneakers." You know what I'm going to tell them? Get a job, and while you're at it, you can fix the carpet.
Friend, Mr. Murphy, I want you to chime in on this. Mr. Murphy, unmute yourself, sir.
Dempsey.
Mr. Walter Murphy, unmute yourself. And Mr. Kingsley, I want you to unmute yourself too, sir, if you're already unmuted. Now,
David,
yeah, I hear
I'm
you.
I'm here.
Yeah, okay. Now listen, remember we were talking about vibration. King was talking about vibrations.
Yep.
And this is just David Murphy thinking, because I look at stuff and read stuff, but I get so many ideas. You know, we are learning people, so many things coming to your head from so many different perspectives. But spiritually, scientifically, they say everything is energy. Everything is energy. It just vibrates, you know, in different levels, in different forms.
Who said that?
Well, scientists and spiritualists, people who don't believe
all
in God,
the same
both
thing.
Of them, both of them say that, because they're operating on the same principle. Energy is here, there, and everywhere, and never dies. It's go from one form to another. And same thing as God. He's here, there, and everywhere, and he everything is him. And so, But this vibration thing, and there's some scriptures in the Bible say, "Ask and you shall receive," but you must ask in the right tone, like Fran was saying. You just can't ask and you're going acting crazy. But this vibration thing, remember I said earlier that everything that we look around, somebody thought about and was created, but the substance was already there. The substance, I mean, was already here on earth. I mean, when I said I wanted to do a newspaper, I had an idea, but I didn't know how to make the paper. I didn't even know how to make the ink. I didn't know how to do a lot of them things, but yet behold, when I got the end results, I had a paper in my hand with the ink, the paper, and everything else was already there with it. But this vibration and this Godhead, this God thing we talking about. So if we as individual, even collectively, vibrate to the universe and say, I want this, is the universe going to give it to us?
Yes. Absolutely, positively, unequivocally, yes. And the way that works is it's very simple. Everyone knows that if you want to tune in to WWEP or WEP, whatever that might be, you got to turn the channel and you got to turn into that vibration. Once you turn into that vibration, there's a connection. Without the connection, there's no communications. There's nothing going on with fog and snow or that little crazy sound that does not affect anything and does not produce anything. However,
that's right.
You touch into that vibration, ladies and gentlemen, one of the most beautiful things happens.
That's right.
That you're connected to the source. And then Dave was saying earlier, you know, he's talking about God and energy. Yes, they are intertwined by many different reasons. First of all, you know, the energy is always here and always will be. It goes in and out of form, and it does all these wonderful things. And it will never, ever change. The core of that energy is always here, like electricity. We know what it is. We kind of know what it is. We kind of know what it does, but we can't create it or we can't destroy it. And that's reality. And so the beauty of all we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, even going back to the womb, supposedly in heaven, was the idea, concept of mankind, supposedly. That's what I've heard, what my understanding is that mankind was the core of this separation between God and man. You see, this is the way this works. As a creator, if you wrote a book and you wrote another chapter to that book, you added to that. You gave it more information. You did something different about the book before versus the one now. If you was the creator, you created all the heavens and all the earth and all the angels and all the multitude of angels, quote unquote, then you created a man. What position do you think man is in? Less than an angel? Not even. He has angel qualities and this thing that we have called this God concept. We not only are spirit, but we're also physical. And so what's going on to my mind is that war was about, unquote, us. And giving us free reign, giving us the same power almost as God, because we do have free will. Take a beetle. A beetle will do what it's going to do, and then that's it. It's going to do what it's going to do. Its main purpose is to do just that. We do all kinds of stuff. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And when it comes to back to the spirit, absolutely, positively, David. People, places, and events will align themselves to give you exactly what you are seeking in good faith within 2 years of what you truly, truly believe. And that's the way the universe works. Now, if you dispute that time, I don't want somebody to go disprove it. Go out and make a decision this very moment and see if that situation that you have in 2 years don't change. To you, David.
Okay, but to you, Mr. To you, King, what do you think about this vibration thing that with the universe?
I appreciate the brother bringing up the way he did, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. The universe itself is a unified field, and everything is already within it. And when we call forth that which we put our intention to, is called deliberate creation. The universe hears that call because you tune into it in such a manner, without doubt, to have it bring itself into manifestation because you're calling it forth. And you're calling it forth through the authority that has been given to you by God to do so. Now, I want to add that Bill brought up something which I thought was interesting when he said that when we look and we see that darkness is equated to negative things and light is equated to right and white, I want to bring a little clarity there because yes. The understanding is better received when we look and identify that darkness is actually another word of saying ignorance, and light is equated to knowledge. So when you know, you are enlightened. When you don't know, then ignorance will lead you into places which you wish you never had been.
Mm-hmm.
And that power of choice concept that kicks in as well. And when I think on what Fran was sharing, the concept that came to my mind while she was talking is, and somebody also brought something to the floor about it as well, is
mm-hmm.
called conditioned mentality.
Mm-hmm.
If you are conditioned into a mindset of negativity, then you're going to draw negativity to you. And you can choose to rise up from a conditioned mindset, which right now we as African Americans and most of the African diaspora
mm-hmm.
has been
mm-hmm.
beaten with religion and negative things and false beliefs in such a manner to where all we are calling forth is negativity because
mm-hmm.
we have been conditioned to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But if we change our thinking,
mm-hmm.
then we change our environment and
yeah.
we change
mm-hmm.
our reality.
It's going to take a long time to do this because layers and layers every day, like the media, like the newspaper, like the school, like everything that you do is constantly upon you. So therefore, you know, it's going to take some time. It's going to take maybe a whole lifetime. But let me go back into the word of entomology. Entomology, when you look at the word black in the Bible, it does not necessarily mean anything bad. The Bible says Job was black, but then also Job said he was black, but he also God said he was a perfect man. Solomon said he was black, but he was a very intelligent man. So when you get into black and white in the Bible, it doesn't have anything to do with the color of the skin or anything. Like only two terms had to do with skin. But you'll find out that when the whites got, when the Anglo-Saxon came out of Africa, that black fellow that came out of Africa and went into European caves and his pineal gland became calcified, his skin became lighter, and when Blumenbach believed the fact of it is that, oh, I'm so beautiful because my skin is lighter, and then that word white came about, he thought that he was another creation. He ain't nothing but a bleached-out nigga. So
now, let me add that there's a big difference between black. There's a difference between black and darkness.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
Big difference between black and darkness.
Yeah.
And
it's
people
conditioning.
Right, it's a matter of conditioning, and so I understand
if
what you're saying.
If we accept, if you accept what he says about you,
black,
then
black
that's what's wrong.
And the Bible brings it to our attention that black.
Well, let me say, gentlemen, let me like I say, you know, like you say, one thing about this podcast, we control this. This is ours. You know, we ain't on nobody's time clock. But I do see the bishops online with us right now. And
No,
you ain't got to be sorry because, like I said, what we were saying is, you know, he's right in line with all of this too. You know, we he's a spiritual man himself. He bishop, so you know, so he's in the word.
I've been
ordained
for 32 years. I even put it in the pulpit.
Enjoy the conversation.
This has been very enlightening because, like I say, a lot of people. I'm serious, you know. They have some choices to make.
Okay.
And like I said in my article, you have to choose wisely.
But you know, Dave, you've got to convince people that they have choices. Our people have been so beaten down, they don't
mm-hmm.
even believe they have a choice.
Right.
They just wake up every day and go with whatever direction the flow is going because they believe that's all they've got. And it's not. It's not all they've got. But they hear... You know, when you wake up in the morning and you hear your mother tell you, you ain't going to be nothing because your daddy wasn't nothing. And
that's
then
right.
you leave out the house and you go to the schoolhouse and your school counselor says, who do you think you are? You ain't smart. And then you go to the church and they're like, honey, come on over here because, you know, y'all children can't do that. Y'all can't be that. Y'all can't have that. Y'all can't go there. Y'all can't go there. Y'all can't learn this. Y'all can't. And then they go back home because it's nighttime. It's darkness. They got to get out the street because the devil is coming. They get up in the house, and who do they find? The woman that started it all. There you are. You know, count just like your daddy. He wasn't nothing, and you ain't going to be nothing. And then they go to bed. And then when they wake up in the morning, guess what starts all over again? How do our children have a chance? And when those children grow up into men in our community, how are those men supposed to do anything different for their children than they had? Because they don't know anything else. They do what they know. We have got to get to our children and stop this nonsense, because this is craziness. My kids came up, and every day I would tell them, whose child are you? You Jesus' child, and you're my child. And if God can't save you, I'm right behind him.
You know, and Fred, you're on point, because like I say, you know, y'all hear me talk about this all the time, about propaganda. Propaganda is such a powerful tool. It will sway you. It will lead you in ways that you, and that's why they say a lot of sheep are led to the slaughter, because of propaganda, what they're hearing, misinformed people. And we follow. But in any case, before we get off of here, because there's another important subject matter that I'm going to jump on, and then we're going to get off of here. Bishop has came. He wants to speak to us tonight about a subject matter that is very serious. And Bishop, take it from here, sir.
Hey, my pleasure. Good evening to everyone, and I'm just grateful to have this time to share with you some things that God has put in my heart. I'm originally from D.C. I pastored in Cherry Hill for about 10 years, and God sent me down to Louisiana to do some work here, and this is sort of home. My daddy's from here, and I'm outside of New Orleans now. But I always have fond memories of Cherry Hill. Is where I learned the base of my work and what I do and what I do today. I have some really great mentors over there in Cherry Hill, and that was my first pastorate. And we turned Cherry Hill around. And so don't tell me what's bad, because I can tell you everybody used to talk about how bad Cherry Hill was. But we turned it around. We turned around because we rolled up our sleeves and we went to work, and we didn't listen to what the naysayers said. We looked at the opportunities that was in front of us, and we started making those opportunities reality. So it doesn't take any energy to complain, okay? It takes no energy at all to complain. And we good at complaining.
Mm-hmm.
It takes energy to make things a reality.
Yeah.
Work. Ain't nobody gonna give you nothing.
Right.
If you're not willing to work, then don't complain. Just whatever falls off the table, that's your lot. But I'm not. That's not me. But I'm here to talk about something else tonight that's really serious, that's really affecting our community, that's really affecting the United States, that a lot of people don't understand why we have this rampant killing by police. And it's a subject called qualified immunity. The Supreme Court gave a ruling years ago that allowed the police not to be charged for any crime that they commit, any crime, whether they were wrong, dead wrong, it didn't matter. Qualified immunity, which they have right now, and it wasn't a Republican Democrat. It was like 8-1. The decision was 8-1 that the Supreme Court gave this to the police. And you're going to see it in the newsletter, but basically it says the bar is so high to take them to court and to find them guilty of an obvious crime because they rigged the system to protect the police. Qualified immunity. And we need to start a national rally and a national campaign to get them to change this. Because when the police are able to go to jail for the crimes that they commit, they'll stop shooting.
Right.
they will stop shooting people. When they go to court and the court says guilty, 15 years, 10 years, they'll stop shooting. But until that changes, they won't stop shooting. And there's some other things, the training. But if you take that qualified immunity off the table, and for the crimes they commit, like anybody else, you and I commit a crime, we got to go down to the court, we got to get an attorney, we got to be subject to their system, and if we're found guilty, we got to pay the price. They don't have to. They don't have to. Because the Supreme Court gave them the ability to violate your constitutional and civil rights with no repercussion. And how in the hell can that be justice in America?
Well, it's white justice in America because they're going to eradicate the color.
But we have people who look like us who know this and they're not saying nothing.
Right.
Well, just because they look like us does not mean that they are us.
They have, I know that.
If they are convinced that they are not us, then guess what? They're not.
I do understand that. All skin folk ain't kin folk. I know
that's
that.
That's right. Yay. Say it again.
I know that. But at the same time, I know that all that we're talking about and all that we, if we don't change policy, if we don't change policy, we're not going to get change.
That's true.
You know, right now, they dealing right here in Maryland with the legislature right now, dealing with that same subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to demand, this from people who supposedly are representing us, black, white,
right.
Democrat, or Republican. Demand, not ask, demand.
That's exactly what I was talking about the other week when I was talking about we have to put people, for me, it doesn't start in the White House. It starts in the local races because the governors really push the agenda of the president in each one of the states. So we have to be more vigilant about selecting people to represent us on the local level that truly will be courageous enough to do our bidding and not be bought or bossed by those people who they believe are over them. Because at the end of the day, the only one that's over the elected official is the people that put them in the seat. Those other folks are not over them. We are over them. But if we don't act like we're over them, guess what? We're not. We have no power and authority because we don't assume the power and authority that we have.
Fran, can I jump in real quick? Because Brother Renee brought up a subject about a week ago, talking about the way our elected officials, and that goes right to the heart of it. So you jump on that real quick.
Well, yeah. So you know, and all this ties in together because gerrymandering is a system that they use to take the power of your vote out of your hands. So they draw these favorable districts where they almost eschew in to win. And they do it on both sides, black, white, Democrat, and Republican. And so you should not, I mean, unless the demographics doesn't allow, but you should not have a district of more than 60% black. Because when you do, you create, if you have an 80% black district, then you got an 80% white district someplace else.
Right.
And so that district is not in play. That person who gets elected don't even have to listen to the people other than the 80% who look like them.
And one other thing, brother, they also not only divide you by color, but also by your political persuasion. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So yeah. So you should see how your map. You should look at your district where you are. Go look at your district and see how they carve some parts out and they leave some parts in. And they jump over this part, and they jump over that part. And, I mean, it doesn't even look like – it's supposed to be like a square or a rectangle. You know, it's supposed to be homogeneous. It don't even look like that, man. It looks like a snake.
That's why the 7th Congressional District of Maryland looks like a wolf head.
See?
Look at it. It looks like a wolf head with the wolf's mouth open and the teeth showing. Look at it. I looked at it for 13 years. It looks like a wolf head.
But our people don't even understand this.
No, nope, we don't.
So we have to educate, and that's why I'm in this space, to help educate, to help share, to help advocate, so we can let our people know, because I'm tired of, you know, these highfalutin so-called black political leaders who don't do anything for us.
Well, they're pushing their own.
Don't do anything for us. They get up there, they get their check, they get their position, and they get into the system, and they take care of me, my four, and no more.
Mm. Yep.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Murphy.
I found out yesterday, that the state of Florida has this Amendment 4. Have you all heard about the Amendment 4? It's a law that was being passed so that the felons could be reinstated and vote. Mm-hmm. Well, one man had worked on it for the longest time, and it was moving along quite well. And then somehow the legislators came up with a way to prevent it from going all the way. They were able to get all of these felons passed through all of the process, but then they came up with, now you have to pay your fees. Anything
right.
you owed the state from when you first broke your law or whatever happened. So then they went out and they got all of these famous celebrities to put up money towards this to pay the fees. John Legend, mm-hmm. all big time guys. Mm-hmm. And then come to find out, they can't find out how much these people owe. The paperwork is in files, handwritten, some they cannot find. So right now, that's in limbo. So even if you have the money to pay, which most people don't really have the money to pay those fees, but they can't even tell you, the state of Florida cannot tell you how much you owe.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, they got past that. A few people were able to find out. They were able to find out how much they owed, went ahead and paid it. Now the Republicans are saying that, well, that's a problem with money coming from outside sources to pay for the voting privileges. There's something against the law for that. Each step that this Amendment 4 is making, there's another bigger push with the Republicans to stop that. And that's something that was I think it was 60 Minutes last night.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, carefully, I watched that.
You can see it. It's all still all on the news right now.
I watched that segment, and it was a.
Did you see it?
Yes, I did. And the gentleman who finally got the vote, you know, he actually had tears in his eyes, you know, to finally get an opportunity to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But this is all over the country. Where they remember, they even had back in the day, they was even talking about the same segment you're talking about. They even had it. So remember they had the jelly bean thing? You had to guess how many jelly beans was in the jar. I mean, they would go to any length,
mm-hmm.
even to this day, from the Supreme mm-hmm. Court all the way down. And mm-hmm. let me just say this to you, ladies and gentlemen. That's why Bishop is coming on board with us. He's the new editor in the National Black Unity News.
Oh,
He's going to bring forth a lot of these subjects that we need to be educated on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like I say, knowledge is power. The ignorance, boy.
Well.
And that's what they count on, us staying ignorant. You know, so we have to be knowledgeable of what's taking place, and each one have to teach one.
Yep.
And so, you know, like I say, we're moving upwards, but at the same time, we got work to do. Boy, we have work to do. We are, excuse me for one moment. You can get right back in. But Fran hit on something so powerful that, and it's so hurtful. But a lot of our own parents, our own people, are beating us down. You can't do this. You can't do that, you know. And in my day, you couldn't say nothing to white folks. I told my brother, Mr. Walter Murphy, sitting online, back in the day when I was working in the kitchen, 16 years old, and there was a 25-year-old white waitress. And she said, David, call me Joyce. I said, sure, Joyce, you call me David. And we was cool. There was about a 68-year-old woman, a black woman, who was the cook. There was only four of us working in the whole place, a Jewish woman, a white woman, a black woman, and me. Little carryout. But this black woman would be so insensitive to me. But when I say, hey, Joyce, she would get so mad and upset when you call her Miss Joyce, you know, and things like this. And the reason being, I understood her reasoning, because back in her day, you could get killed for, you know, mislabeling a white person. And she, I think I understood where she was coming from, but it was a new day. It was a new time. Joyce was Joyce, as far as I was concerned, and she's still Joyce. You know, I mean, she, you know, regardless. But like I say, not only her, my own grandfather was like that. You know, yeah. And that's the mindset they had. But right now, still have those mindsets from slavery all the way up. You know, that propaganda still runs strong and deep with us.
Yeah.
And that's why in this issue that's coming up, I thank God for you all, but those of you who are editors in the National Black Unity News, because y'all, a lot of y'all are hitting on the subject of voting and getting active in the political arena, and I appreciate that. But you know, because like I say, you know, we got work to do. All of us don't know everything. That's why we have to bring people like the Bishop on and King on and everybody else on. Because, like I say, it's information all over the place, but we need to gather that data and put it into our bank so we can be determined. I think we're being compromised. We're being compromised. See what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's one of them people that I've been hearing about.
When it happens.
Can I put my
Jesus, Listen to him.
Yeah. Yeah, they just trying to take over our call, but that's okay.
Okay, I'm gonna be frank with you guys. I gotta lay down a fat fucking turd.
Well, we're not interested, so get off of
I'm
our
saying
call.
It's one for the record.
All right, Dave. So,
wake up to reality.
I think now is a good
ever.
Time for
us. You're so inspiring.
He needs to take a big stinky shit.
The Black Lives Matter meeting.
Okay.
You are unmuted.
You
go. It's okay.
You got everybody muted. Mute everybody.
Yeah, but you have to remove them, and they still saw them more than that.
Right. That's all right.
Yes.
I think
there's nothing
to see.
Not
if we weren't sharing something really important, if we weren't trying to do something that was really threatening to them, they wouldn't be bothered with us.
This is so cool. Get F in the chat, boys.
This is a good
you're
thing.
You're absolutely
so,
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you 100% on that.
You can talk.
Hey, how many hamburgers have you ate, man?
All right, Dave.
All right, but you know, we know who we are and what we are.
Yes, we are.
And I see
and,
one more.
And we know we're not going to be stopped. We know we're not going to be stopped.
I don't know if you guys were aware, but I still got to lay down.
Y'all just hold on for 1 minute. And like I said.
Hold up. I gotta push a real you out of the.
Keep talking, Dave.
Can you pop a titty out for me?
Well, we're gonna say good night, ladies and gentlemen. Because they got a program, and no matter what you
do, it's not really
meant for that.
Goodbye.
How can you get David back? Y'all need to get that straightened out, like, right now. What can you do to make sure you get that back? They got Bishop. I need to know what's the action stuff. Yeah. People talk about the action stuff, and we gotta stop keeping the conversation going. We gotta stop and go over what the action stuff is gonna be. So of course you don't need to have that enemy on there while you're planning your action stuff.